call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Thursday, April 14th, 2016. We're here in the Capitol Building in Juneau, Alaska. Committee members present with us today, Vice Chair Senator Costello, Senator Stoltz, Senator Stedman, Senator Coghill, and myself, Senator Giesel. I believe Senator Machiki is tied up in other committees, and I believe Senator Wilikowski will be joining us shortly. Thank you to Ann and Christy, who are helping us out today, recording the minutes and with the audio. Today, the committee will take up two bills, House Bill 216, followed by Senate Bill 42. So first, we'll take up House Bill 216. House Bill 216 was heard yesterday. Public testimony was heard and closed, and the committee adopted Amendment Number 1 from Senator Coghill. We have another amendment today from Senator Coghill, that being Amendment Number 2. Senator Coghill, would you like to move your amendment?
Madam Chair, I'll move Amendment Number 2.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. We have, let's see, Mr. Chad Hutchinson and Mr. Randy Rao here from Senators Coghill and Stedman's offices, who worked on this amendment, along with the Department of Natural Resources. So welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Chad Hutchinson.
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Randy Ruraro, Staff Center Stedman.
Welcome.
And Madam Chair, this current amendment that you have before you came out of a discussion that the staffs for Senator Stedman, Senator Coghill, Representative Tallarico, and members of DNR had regarding a point that was made by one of the folks that testified yesterday, Mr. Dick Bishop. And he touched on a good point. Why does a state statute involving a state public trust doctrine cede regulatory authority to the federal government? And from our perspective, that shouldn't occur. So the amendment you see before you essentially eliminates the reference to the federal authority or the federal government as it relates to state navigable waters. And that's the gist of the amendment.
Mr. Hutchinson, could you therefore read lines 8 and 9 on page 1 as they will read now, should amendment number 2 be adopted?
So, Madam Chair, lines 8 and 9 should correctly read, authorized by law or regulation or by a permit issued by a state agency. So the elimination there is the federal or portion. And then the previous elimination of language from lines 10 and 11, the authorized under federal or state law or permit, that remains eliminated as it should be. So the references, in a nutshell, to the federal government have been eliminated from the statute.
Very good. Mr. Ruraro, anything to add?
No, Madam Chair. For the record, Randy Ruraro, I think it's a good amendment. It clarifies, I think, a point that the federal government could have taken in a case like the Sturgeon case and said, look, your state statute authorizes our obstruction of access because it was done under pursuant to a federal regulation. So I think it cleans up that issue.
Good. I'm going to remove my objection. Is there further objection to the amendment?
Just only to say, Madam Chair, that the sponsor of the bill has been working with us and is in agreement with it.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. Seeing no further objection, the amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion on the bill? Representative Tallarico, any closing remarks? All right. If there's no further discussion or questions, Senator Costello, I will accept a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 216, Work Order 29-LS0995/November from committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note.
Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, we'll move the bill. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the document. back on the record. Our next item on the agenda today is Senate Bill 42 by Senator Stoltz. The bill was last heard last session. Senator Stoltz, would you briefly review the piece of legislation for us?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think everybody understands the concept fairly well, but for the record, it's called the Alaskans First Fisheries Act. In times of shortages, when allocation decisions are made to meet management goals, the priority fisheries are those that are Alaskan resident-only fisheries, subsistence and personal use. I know during our the department has a neutrality position on it, but during discussions during confirmation and discussion of the bill, Commissioner Cotton, who's an advocate of Alaskanizing our fisheries, I guess he got himself in some trouble with UFA and all the other constituencies by acknowledging, well, this seems like not a bad idea to look at Alaskans first, and he was woodshedded appropriately for that by the folks that do run our fisheries. And again, he is a commercial fisherman himself, but now representing all Alaskans' resources. So I appreciated his candor and honesty, and that he had to take a little bit of beating from that. But it's a real simple concept, and we're really only talking about a very small percentage of the fisheries that are allocated. And I know there during the presentation of the bill, both in state affairs and the last hearing on April 1st, 2015, there was testimony from some of the industry folks that we do have an allocation system. The commercial fishing industry catches it, and we can buy it. And that was almost the verbatim testimony. That's how Alaskans should get their fish. And that may be a formula and quotient that works well in some regions of the state as an ideology. But I think it caused rebellion if that were to become more official state policy than it already is. This is really a grassroots measure. I'd rather, I got to tell you, I'll be a little bit flip. I'd much rather Alaskans would voluntarily get their vitamin D from Alaskan salmon than be force-fed by some government program. But we'll leave that at that. It's a very simple concept, but obviously fraught with controversy. Any time that you want to slightly nudge the equality and make it towards Alaskans and Alaska residents, it's always can be disruptive for those in the status quo who benefit. And as populations have grown, transportation has improved, Alaskans and policies have changed. The opening of this personal use fisheries, primarily there are about 80 personal use fisheries of different species and shellfish and. But the ones that are probably the most popular are on three major rivers, the Kasilof, the Kenai, and the Copper River, known as the Chitna dipnet fishery. And that's where in excess of a combination of almost 50,000 Alaskan households use those and put protein in their freezers, and cutting out the middleman of the folks charging by having to buy. It's almost antithetical to Alaskans to believe that that someone would want them that the prioritization should be that we engage in the limited entry folks have bought a right and we have to buy the fish through them. And that has been almost a verbatim testimony. There have been suggestions to limit it to 5 fish or 10 fish to a family, and you know, those are almost akin to insults at that level. I know certainly there was an Alaskan senator from here in Southeast who didn't think that was a fair allocation, and that's seems the system agreed with, even through extra legal methods, the system agreed that he had a right. I think through legal methods, our Alaskan residents should be able to get fish for their families. And it isn't these are the only two fisheries, subsistence and personal use, that are Alaskan resident-only fisheries. We talk a lot about local hire and how to have Alaskan preferences. Here is one. I think it's constitutionally sound. We're not talking about a majority of the fish. We're talking about a minority of the allocation. But I'll just say there have been more hearings in this building about overescapement and how to stop fish from getting to the rivers in this building than there have been about issues like this, which Alaskans do have a strong interest. If this was a to. We shouldn't put ballots like this, issues like this on the ballot, but if it was on the ballot, I believe it passed pretty overwhelmingly because I think more Alaska, it's one that truly benefits Alaskan families. And it's one of the fairest ways of sharing this commonly owned resource. So a little bit of editorial in there, but just describing my motives and the motives of Alaskans who want to make sure this fishery is protected because it is continually under assault.
Thank you, Senator Stoltz. So just for clarification for myself, in reading the bill, then any restrictions would go on all other fisheries before restricting personal use fisheries, is basically what the bill is saying. Is that correct?
I'm sure that's correct. That includes sport fishing, commercial fishing, dynamite fishing, whatever.
I don't think we do that anymore.
I don't
anymore,
think so either. That's why I want to make sure it's illegal.
Very good. Very good. All right. We do have folks signed up online, and so we will begin. I'm going to open public testimony now. So these are the guidelines for folks. Probably a lot of folks have already called in at other times, so you already know what these guidelines are. I'm going to allow 2 minutes. I'm going to rotate around to the various LIOs so we make sure that everyone has that opportunity and we get diverse areas of the state able to say their piece. So I will start in Homer. From there, I'll go to Kenai, then I'll go Offnet, and then I'll go to Fairbanks. So starting in Kenai, the first person signed up there is Wes Humbard. After Wes speaks, we'll go to Kenai, and John McCombs is there. So you guys can kind of line up, get on deck, so to speak. We'll start with Wes. Wes, can you hear us? And be sure to give us your name and any affiliation.
Yes, I can hear you. My name is Wes Humbert. I've been a commercial fisherman in Cook Inlet since 1966 and a resident of Alaska since 1971. I'd like to say that the way of commercial fisheries in Cook Inlet have been so drastically curtailed by the allocation corridor, which was put up by the Board of Fisheries 2 years ago, there's plenty of fish around for all these people that want to go get them. And, you know, all politicians swear to uphold the Constitution. When you become a politician, you swear to uphold the law. And most of them must not read that. Because I see some things going on here that are violation of the Constitution, and one of them is Article 8, Section 15. There's no exclusive right, I'll repeat, no exclusive right or special privilege of a fishery shall be created or authorized in the natural waters of this state. And I believe all the fishermen in this state, we all know about them. This section does not restrict the power of the state to limit entry into any fishery for purposes of resource and compensation. To prevent economic distress among fishermen and those dependent upon them for a livelihood, and to promote the fishery development of aquaculture in the state. Now, I'm a little offended by one of the politicians' comments there about how they have to have an allocation for all these people to get these fish. They already get 600,000 sockeye out of the Kenai River every year, and I don't know how many out of Kasiloff, to get them out of Ship Creek, which Cook Inlet Aquaculture put 7 million sockeye salmon in there 7 years ago, and we don't get any of those. We don't get a fish because of the allocation corridor, which they call a conservation corridor. They all go up the inlet going big legs so the dip netters can get them. And I think this is just law here is passed. It's a violation of the state constitution, so I hope everybody reads that and understands when you went in there and swore that you swore to uphold the Constitution. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Wes. And so, just for summary, I think you're against the bill. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. Just clarification. All right, next we're going to go to Kenai, John McCombs. After John speaks, we'll go to the Offnet, and Ed Martin will be the next person. John, welcome.
Well, thank you. My name is John McCombs, and I've been a commercial fisherman in Cook Inlet for 40 years. The PU fishery began in the 1980s when there were large surpluses of fish. These fish were already 100% allocated. There was a commercial priority at that time for sockeye salmon. The PU fishery is unlimited now and harvested over 600,000 sockeyes in 2015. The PU fishery is expensive, and rhetoric about cheap protein, it couldn't be more false. Because Senate Bill 42 pits Alaskans against Alaskans, and recreational fishermen against commercial fishermen and industry and advances existing antagonisms, I cannot support Senate Bill 42. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much, John, for your testimony. Next, we'll go to the off-net, and Ed Martin is there. Mr. Martin, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Madam Chair. I can feel a sympathy for the commercial fishermen. In fact, one of the first jobs I had in high school was fishing across the inlet for the Bunker family. And I learned a valuable lesson there, that we had a lot of fish. And in those days, I guess, it was quite different from today. But I do believe that if Alaskans, there's no reason for us to be pitting ourselves against each other for this resource. If, in fact, it is a common use, then I believe that the most important part is to be certain that everyone has access to the fish. I don't know that we'll ever resolve this common use issue, and it'll always be contentious. But I really believe that if I can't go out and catch fish with quite often because of my profession keeps me busy during that season, I usually buy from the commercial fishermen. But maybe I'm the more fortunate that can do this. So there's areas of the state where commercial fishermen aren't accessible. I believe that the management of the so-called personal use, which I think is a terrible way to state it, but if we are owner state, then I guess it would be personal, wouldn't it? I believe it's a subsistence use by all Alaskans and should be allowed for a minor amount of priority. I know that some of my commercial friends will say, what are you talking about? But you know something? They get a privilege or a license or a permit, which otherwise would be considered illegal. That's the definition of a license, and I hope that people will understand that I don't believe that we Alaskans under a subsistence use should be licensed. I believe that, you know, it should be something that we all hold common and to ourselves as a state and a people. So I support this bill. I don't believe that it will be abused, but I do know this, that the Board of Fish is carrying out a duty for the legislature. And like all the other boards and commissions in our state, which we're overwhelmed with about 130 of them, this is a cost to the state. And people need to understand that if we want a representative form of government, quite often those representations cannot be done on a local level or on all the issues. So I caution, anything less than what's prudent for the Alaska and its constitution, and I suppose we can argue the constitutional point. But I sure wouldn't want to deprive the less fortunate that couldn't buy a salmon. So I thank you very much for the testimony, and wish you best of luck with this. Thank you, Bill, for your hard work.
Mr. Martin, could you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, this is Ed Martin. And I'm representing myself and my wife, Kathleen, and we're residents of Cooper Landing. Oh, by the way,
Perfect. Thank you.
Isn't it ironic that we live in a state where a community like Cooper Landing actually has a substance use on a federal level?
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
You betcha. Thank you.
Next, we're going to the Fairbanks LIO, where Al Barrett is. After that, we will return to the Homer LIO, where David Martin is. So, Mr. Barrett, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Al Barrett. I live in Fairbanks, and I'm representing myself and my family. First of all, I'd like to thank Senator Stoltz for his time. I heard a vicious rumor this morning that he was going to retire from the legislature. I'm kind of upset with that, but that's a good decision on his behalf, and I enjoyed working with his staff. They've always been friendly and kind. I support this bill. I think people are missing the point with this bill. It's in times of shortage for management that we prioritize. We prioritize and we give subsistence the priority, and then next in line should be the PU and then commercial and sport. That's the intent of the bill. I think also that, you know, in these times of financial challenges, I know my family is going to depend on this PU fishery in Chitna to help us make it through these times of whatever happens with our dividends and income taxes and raising our hunting and fishing licenses. It's going to be nice to rely on that fish protein in our family.
I think we ought to pass this, and I thank the senator for his perseverance in this bill. I think he comes up with some really good ideas, and I think it's well needed in this state. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barrett. So next we will go to Homer, the Homer LIO, where David Martin is. After David speaks, we'll go to Kenai, where Steve Vanek is. Mr. Martin, welcome.
Yes, thank you. My name is David Martin. I'm the president of the United Cook Inlet Drift Association in Cook Inlet, and we're opposed to Senate Bill 42. For the main reason, it's unconstitutional. It's in opposition to Article 8, Sections 1, 3, 4, and especially Sections 15, no exclusive right of fishery. People should be able to get their fish either by catching it or purchasing it, the fish from the store or the restaurant, and that would be from the commercially caught fish. It's also one of the largest jaw producers in the state, and 51% of the export of the state is from the commercial fisheries, fish that's been harvested throughout the state. The Dibnet fishery is also one of the most unorganized and unenforced fishery in the state. There is plenty of opportunity to get fish, as indicated by over 650,000 salmon that are caught in South Central Alaska and released in the sports fishery, and there's a lot of waste that's been documented in the springtime from people cleaning out their freezers and giving to the dog mushers or whatever to the dump. Every fishery needs to be good stewards of the resource, and to share in the harvest of the surplus, but also to share in the conservation when needed and to protect the habitat and river. The science and abundance-based management is what we need to protect the fishery and the habitat. And there are probably more Alaskans that buy their salmon than fish for it, so it's ample opportunity for everybody that needs to be shared on an equal basis to purchase their fish. So thank you, and hopefully you don't pass out Senate Bill 42, which is pretty much unconstitutional.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Martin. So moving next to Kenai, Steve Vanek is there. After Steve, I'm going to go to the off-net, and Rod Arno will be waiting on deck. Steve, welcome.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Steve Vanek. I live in Anilchik. I'm a retired commercial fisherman. I've been here since 1964. I oppose this ridiculous bill. How much does it cost to travel to go dip net fishing? It costs a lot of money, so don't be telling me that it's for the poor people to feed themselves when it costs so much money to go to Chitna or to come down on a peninsula. And this dip net fishery is not available for the poor people who really need the fish. That's a bunch of BS. Fishing is the number one industry in Alaska, and so here you're going to be opposing the commercial industry that's built Alaska. It's a slap in the face to the processors who provide thousands of jobs in Alaska, so it's foolishness. A lot of the fish are given away to friends and relatives who visit here. They're not used for personal use. They're not used to fill their freezer to eat during the winter. That's BS, too. I've been told by friends of mine that they use the dip net fish for Christmas gifts to send out. So it's not for the purpose that it was intended for. The Board of Fish said you can do whatever you want with those fish. In other words, they're not just for food for the dippers. It really is a recreational fishery. It is fun to do, and a lot of people come here because it is fun, and then they give away their fish. I want, for a natural resource that belongs to everybody, I want the Fort Knox mine in Fairbanks to close for 2 days a week so I can go and pan gold for my personal use. Or I want 25 gallons of gas plus 10 gallons for each dependent from the gas from Tesoro Refinery, because that's part of my belongs to me as part of being an Alaskan resident. This is ridiculous, and I hope you can see that also. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Vanek. Next, we're going to go to the off-net where Rod Arno is. After Rod speaks, we'll go back to Homer, where Christy Fry is waiting. Rod, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman and committee members, for allowing time for public testimony. My name is Rod Arno. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Outdoor Council, and first we want to thank Senator Stoltz for keeping at it on this Senate Bill 42, and also we were right with him when he introduced it on the House side, that the Outdoor Council supports this bill and hopes that it passes out of committee, and in 2.5 more days it can be signed into law. That the personal use fishery is a very convoluted, tough little project when we looked at it was put into codified in 1978 at the time the state was trying to capitulate to the feds to stop their takeover of federal management by agreeing to a real priority. And individuals who lived in Fairbanks, the Valley, and Anchorage then were excluded from the Chitina fishery, and the board then of fisheries had to come up with a way of providing them with a personal use and not being underneath subsistence at that time because they had the wrong zip code. But since that time, a number of personal use fisheries have grown across the state, and the Alaska Outdoor Council believes that conservation continues because individuals have a hands-on of gathering a wild food source from a public resource. And for those reasons, we certainly thank Senator Stoltz for his continued effort on this, and the only fix for this problem that we've had with this since 78 will be a legislative fix, and the Outdoor Council will be there in future sessions working on that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Arno, for your testimony. Next, we are going to Homer, where Christy Fry is waiting. After Christy, we will go to the Kenai LIO, where Eric Hebsch is waiting, and I'm sorry, I probably butchered your name, Eric, sorry. But back to Christy there in Homer. Welcome, Christy.
Hi, my name is Christy Fry, and I represent myself, and I am testifying in opposition of SB 42, the Personal Use Priority Bill. This bill is blatantly political and inserts the legislature into fisheries management, which should solely be the purview of the Alaska Board of Fisheries and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Considering the sponsor of this bill, it is obviously aimed at prioritizing dip netters in the Kenai and Kasilof rivers over commercial fishermen. There has never been an instance where this has been an issue. Commercial fisheries have been shut down while dip netters continued without so much as a reduced bag limit in years of low returns. Furthermore, the dip net fishery was originally established to harvest over-escapement of sockeye in the Kenai and Kasilof rivers, and has since grown to become an entitlement which harvests as much as a third of the resource in years of low abundance, with devastating results to the economy of the Kenai Peninsula. The argument that commercial fishermen are largely from out of state rings false. 85% of set netters and 80% of drift fishermen in the Upper Cook Inlet area are Alaskan residents, myself included, since 1967. Also, there are more than 80 personal use fisheries statewide that would be affected by this bill. It is short-sighted and unnecessary and would cause irreparable harm to the commercial fisheries, which are the state's largest private employers. Please do not pass this bill.
Thank you for your testimony, Christy. Next, we will go then to the Kenai LIO, where Eric is waiting. Then we'll go off-net to George Pierce. Eric, welcome.
Thank you, Senator Geisel and committee members. My name is Eric Hipsch. I reside in Kasilof, Alaska. I participate in sport, commercial, and personal use fisheries. I am here to express my opposition to Senate Bill 42. All Alaskans have an opportunity to share in our bountiful fishery resources, and at times when they're not as bountiful, all Alaskans must share in the burden of conservation. Senate Bill 42 is divisive and reckless. This bill would upset the balance among user groups that has been the result of an actual process of decision-making. The actual language contained in this bill is so vague that if the legislation is passed, the unintended consequences could threaten every fishery across the state. For instance, the bill states, and I quote, when the harvest of a stock or species is limited to achieve a management goal, the Board of Fisheries shall place restrictions on all other fisheries before restricting personal use fisheries. What does all other fisheries really mean? Who would that affect? Is that all other fisheries across the state, or just in that management area, or just for that particular river system? Are those restrictions limited to only that particular stock or species? And how would that apply in mixed stock fisheries like we have in Cook Inlet and in most areas across the state? The bill also uses the term management goal and then offers a constrained definition for that term. What effect would this new definition have on existing management plans? Senate Bill 42 creates many problems and solves none. So please vote no on Senate Bill 42. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Eric. Next, we'll go to the off-net where George is waiting. Then we will go back to Homer where Dan Anderson is waiting to speak. George, welcome.
Thank you for taking my testimony. Mr. Stoltz, I'm glad you introduced this. I am in favor of it with many of my friends and my family. My name is George Pearson. I am representing myself. This bill, it is not unconstitutional. In fact, in the mid-90s, this situation went to court, and it was ruled that the personal use and subsistence fisheries, they're trying to say, in fact, the reason we don't have a subsistence fishery here today is because it was switched to personal use. So I feel like this personal use fishery is my subsistence fishery. Anyway, it went to court, and the ruling came back that the Fish and Game was trying to say that it was unconstitutional, that people in certain areas couldn't have subsistence. It came back from the court system that yes, everybody was entitled to subsistence, but they never took it back to subsistence. They called it personal use and stuck us in the mouth of the rivers. So these belong to me. They're my fish. They're not commercial fishermen's fish, and they're not sports fishing fish. They belong to the people for subsistence, and there is enough fish for everybody to go around here. I applaud you for this bill, and I hope you pass this bill because subsistence is personal use, and it shouldn't be outweighed by commercial fishermen or the sport fishing. We have priority, and I hope you pass this. Thank you, and I wish you well in your life, and I hope to see you down on the river. Mr. Stoltz?
Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, George, for your testimony. Senator Stoltz?
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't know how Mr. Pierce was going to testify, but chairing other committees, I just want to thank him for his consistent involvement in the public process, especially through the permanent fund bills. And you've added, I've appreciated your voice. You've testified late at night and early in the morning, and I appreciate your citizenship. Again, I didn't know how you were going to testify on this, but I wanted to leave that comment for you. You're one of the people I'm going to miss, your kind of folksy, thoughtful testimony.
Thanks for your comments, and I hope to see you down on the river.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll go to Homer. Dan Anderson is waiting there. After Dan, we'll go to Kenai, where Catherine Cassidy is waiting. Dan, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Senator and committee members, for this opportunity to present my opinions on this misled bill. My name is Dan Anderson, for the record. I live in Homer. Having personally witnessed the degradation of the habitat and the chaos in the mouth of the Kasiloff and Kenai Rivers, and watching the communities around them deal with all the carnage from this type of activity, I don't know how anyone could encourage this behavior. This is not the Alaska I moved my family here to experience. This is just totally out of unreasonable. Now, if you don't put the fish first, what do we got? And if you degrade the habitat, the fish won't return. That's pretty well been proven. I'm asking you definitely not to support or pass this bill forward. There's got to be some sideboards put on this dip net fishery. I see this unchecked growth continuing, and then all the fallout from that just kind of escalating and snowballing downhill. I think it's for short-sighted people who want to engage in this behavior or promote this policy. What I'm asking you to do is consider the fish to be here for my grandchildren and your grandchildren. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson, for your testimony. Next, going to the Kenai LIO, Catherine Cassidy is waiting. After Catherine, on the off-net is Ross Mullins. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you, Senator and committee members. I'm Catherine Cassidy, representing myself. I live in Kusilov. I'm speaking in opposition to Senate Bill 42 today. I'd like to just support all the points made by Christy Fry. I won't repeat them. This bill is titled Alaskans First. Well, what about Alaskans who fill their freezers by sport fishing? And what about Alaskan commercial fishermen? Aren't they Alaskans too? Shouldn't they have some rights as Alaskans as well? Senator Stoltz called this bill a simple concept. Simple, but it is absolutely not simple. Simple doesn't cut it. As Eric testified, the unintended consequences for messing with the 80 personal use fisheries around the state are clearly beyond the author's knowledge or understanding. This is why fishing regulations should not be set by the legislature or by ballot initiatives. Please vote against this bill and let the Department of Fish and Game and the Board of Fishery manage our fisheries. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Catherine. Now we'll go to the off-net. Ross Mullins is online. Please identify yourself and give us your testimony, Ross.
Thank you, Chairman Giesel. My name is Ross Mullins. I have been a commercial fisherman in Prince William Sound since 1963, and I am currently retired and living in poverty due to the Exxon Valdez oil spill ramifications. I would like to state clearly here that the intent of the personal use fishery is a noble one, but it needs to be highly regulated, because these fish that are caught by the personal use fishermen are, in the example of the Copper River, several hundred miles above the commercial fisheries. And the commercial fishermen are restricted here in the early weeks in order to ensure that a sufficient amount of fish get through the fishery to provide adequate fish for the dip net fishermen in Chitna. In fact, I was on the board of the Alaska, the Prince William Sound Aquaculture Corporation in its early days, when Jalmar Kurtula, Wally Norenberg, others of the FRED division promoted the enhancement of salmon through the aquaculture and hatchery programs, which have become a fairly sustaining component of fisheries here in Prince William Sound. The commercial fishermen in Prince William Sound, through its aquaculture organization, funds a large portion of the subsistence and dip net fishery production by its funding of the Gulcana hatchery that produces red salmon that are available for the dip net fisheries in Chitna, because they did not want to see their own efforts restricted due to the personal use upstream fisheries. The personal use fisheries are taking fish that come through after the commercial fishermen have had their opportunity, and it is a highly regulated program, because the only way the Department of Fish and Game can regulate these fisheries is through attempts to get sufficient escapement into the highly upstream lakes and streams that produce the offspring that return in later years. With a with a personal use fishery that has priority, there is no way that the Department of Fish and Game can manage these fisheries in an effective manner that will not penalize sport and commercial fishermen to an inordinate degree. And this is the crux. If you do not have the ability to maintain sufficient escapement, the fisheries ultimately will be destroyed, and it could be done by these personal use fisheries being given top priority in the state.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Mullins.
The bill is highly volatile and will create a lot of controversy and divisiveness that is unnecessary. I think the
Mr. Mullins, could you wrap up, please?
Yes, I will, Chairman. I think these fisheries are well managed at the present time, and the numbers of fish and the restrictions to waste and abuse are there. They need to be more monitored by the state troopers for waste and abuse, and I do believe this bill is ill-informed and selfish and should not go into effect. I highly oppose this bill, as do all the commercial fisheries, the most important industry.
Thank you, Mr. Mullins.
Alaska.
Mr. Mullins, thank you for your testimony.
So thank you very much for listening to my testimony.
Thank you. That is the end of the list of folks online wishing to testify. Christy, I don't see anyone that we're missing. Okay. Is there anyone here in the room that wishes to testify on the bill? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. Bringing the bill now back to committee members, is there further discussion on the bill? Senator Stedman.
Yes, Madam Chairman, I have an amendment when the time is appropriate.
I guess that would be now, Senator Stedman.
I have amendment number one.
I will object for purposes of discussion.
Okay, it's a good amendment, Madam Chairman. It's a little amendment. It makes a bill that had a pretty good intention better. We start out by deleting in the title to personal use fisheries when fishing restrictions are, and we insert for the imposition of fishing restrictions. That's line one, page one, of course. And in page one, lines five and six, we delete except as provided for subsistence use of fish stocks in AS 16.05.258 when the harvest of a stock or species is limited to achieve a management goal. The Board of Fisheries shall place restrictions on all other fisheries. We delete that. We insert, Madam Chairman, we insert when the harvest of a stock or species is limited to achieve a management goal, the Board of Fisheries may not place restrictions on commercial fisheries. And I'd like to repeat that. We insert, when the harvest of a stock or species is limited to achieve a management goal, the Board of Fisheries may not place restrictions on commercial fisheries. And Madam Chairman, what this amendment does, that's the fancy legal language, what it does, the use, prioritization of use to commercial fisheries. And when we look at what's going on around the state, the oil industry has a gross stock of about $7 billion, and I think the fishing industry is going to have a gross stock of about $8 billion this year. The fishing industry most likely will exceed the gross value of our oil industry this year. Coming into 17, it is by far the biggest employer in the state. It is active throughout all of coastal Alaska, hugely active in Anchorage with the amount of permits that are sitting in Anchorage in the rail belt area, and then along the coast it's pretty obvious they're fishing towns. So, Madam Chairman, I move this little amendment to make this bill better.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Continuing discussion, it says, so let me just make sure I understand how the sentence reads. The Board of Fisheries, I'm just going to get the second half of the sentence that you're inserting. The Board of Fisheries may not place restrictions on commercial fisheries before restricting personal use fisheries. That would be the continuation of the sentence that was would not be proposed to be deleted.
Correct. And I forgot I should have mentioned that additional non-deleted part of the sentence would have made it a lot cleaner for the folks at home. So I do apologize for that, Madam Chairman. Would you like to read that again for the folks at home?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, starting on lot insert. When the harvest of a stock or species is limited to the to achieve a management goal, the Board of Fisheries may not place restrictions on commercial fisheries before restricting personal use fisheries. So it makes it very clear, the pecking order. And I think it makes the bill better from my constituents' perspective along the coast, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. I will remove my objection. Is there further objection?
I object to it.
Thank you, Senator Stoltz. Would you like to speak to your objection?
Well, sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this changes the nature. I think there already is a de facto preference within the department. It's a matter of fact, I think it's the culture, the theology. I think that actually exists. And it's home. You might also call it redundant because you're really enforcing. It's like if we pass a law that says that the Vatican is Catholic, it's already pretty apparent. And I think it would have due injury to that. I appreciate the senator from Ketchikan, Sitka's the southern region of the state, his zeal for taxation and fair Alaskan share. We're talking about an $8 billion gross industry, which provides about $22 million of unrestricted general fund revenue. And maybe I'll get a cheerleader here for making sure that his industry he exercises the same zeal and passion in making sure that all Alaskans equally benefit from that commonly owned resource. If he wants to restrict the priority use, maybe my constituents would be happy to give up some of their single-digit percentage rights if they got a fair share of the share, and would take some of Maria Cantwell's constituents' money, and they take back to Washington, and the two California senators, and I forget who the new governor is of whatever origin she is. I find it. I have a very good natured relationship with my friend, but if he talks about the $8 billion industry and wants to make sure he buttresses it and makes it more exclusive, I'm looking forward to him coming up with some revenue bills. It just seems like his sense of fairness and equity and proportion for all Alaskans, he'd want to bump up that $22 million of unrestricted general fund revenue from that $8 billion industry up a notch. Just because of his passion for a fair share for all of Alaskans. So maybe if there's a second part of this amendment, maybe we might be able to go with it.
Thank you, Senator Stoltz. Any further questions for committee members concerning the amendment? Further discussion?
Just a final.
Yes, Senator Stedman.
Before we vote on the amendment, I'd like to try to facilitate the request of Senator Stoltz, but I don't think the taxation would fit under the title, so we'll have to probably just work today with what we have in front of us.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further discussion? Yes, Senator Costello.
I'd like to comment that every bill seems taxing these days, so perhaps that's not the case.
Thank you, Senator Costello. Further discussion? Do you maintain your objection, Senator Stoltz?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Madam Secretary, if you would call the roll.
Yes, it's the best one I've seen all year.
Senator Costello?
No.
Senator Wilkowski is absent. Senator Coghill?
No.
Senator Stoltz?
No, without editorial.
Senator Kitty is absent, and Senator Gonzalez?
No.
Four yay and four nays.
Thank you.
If Peter here, you might have gotten a little more support.
So back to the bill. Is there further discussion related to the bill itself?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Stoltz.
You know, I don't have enough magic beans to to get a bill through the rest of the session in 2 or 3 days, but this has been an ongoing process, and it's appropriate there's discussion of the issue, and it gets us further step up that this fish ladder and all through the weirs and gates that are blocking the progress over the years. And the issue gets gill-netted right before it even gets very far. But it is an issue that, and it has imperfections in the bill, but I acknowledge that. The system right we have right now is imperfect, and it's imperfect in its policy. Obviously, to let the folks know out there, too, in addition to some of them know that I'm not going to be running again, that's probably a source of joy, and I'll tell them also that the fact that this bill really can't make it through this session, that will probably further bolster them, and that others will pick this up. And I would rather have this go through a deliberative process. I don't like initiatives. When the SetNet initiative came, I spoke out against it in my region to some consternation about it, both in Palmer and Wasilla and Chugiak and Eagle River. And it was, I believe in a responsible process, and this is the appropriate place for the legislature to send the broader guidelines for the Board of Fish to make decisions. But I would just encourage the industry. There have been population shifts, and there's shifting opinion. There's different demands on the resource. Galveston used to be the biggest city in Texas and was a dominant force. Now it's a quaint little town. Things change as our states have evolved. I worry about some of the concerns Senator Stedman has about the issues important to coastal Alaska, and I share a lot of those concerns as the population is shifting. And I want to be, I'm very supportive of fisheries throughout the state. There's a contentious issue, and I represent the constituencies of my area on this issue. I don't think you can find an example where I'm not supportive of fisheries statewide. And I'm very proud to be finishing my 10th year of ASME as an ex officio, and I've helped the fish and game budget through the process and been very involved. This is one area of the state that it is contentious, and it's because of inequities, growth, a shifting change. It's important to the interior as well, the highway districts, for the Chitna fishery. If we ignore it, then this may manifest in other areas outside of the legislative process as well. As Bob Dylan said, these times are changing, and we better be more deliberative on it and not just try to keep with the status quo and pretend that the populations and the uses and the priorities have all stayed stagnant, because Alaska has changed, and I'd like to make those adaptations in a rational manner, and this is just one step. And understand, I appreciate that the bill we moved out, it's more of a formality, because it doesn't even barely have time to make it through the Senate under the best circumstances. I'm not going to push it further than this committee, Madam Chair, but I think my constituents, I think a lot of our constituents here appreciate that we can, this doesn't get buttonholed in the committee. I appreciate that this body has been more deliberative and more open than the other side, where special interests have been able to bottle it up without hearings and say with a really pejorative language about other areas of the state and other users. I appreciate the openness. I'm done.
Thank you very much, Senator Stoltz. In the interest of Senator Coghill being able to vote on this, I would ask if there is other brief discussion. He is about to leave. All right, seeing none, Senator Stoltz, would you like to make the motion to move your bill?
If I can find you, huh? Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 42, Work Order 29, LS0096/H, Hotel, from committee with the individual, probably not unanimous, recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Is there objection?
I'll object.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Coghill?
Yes.
Senator Stoltz?
Yes.
No.
Senator Costello?
Yes.
And Senator Diesel?
Yes.
Four days and one day.
Thank you. With that, the bill will move from this committee to the next, which is actually the Rules Committee. We will sign the documents. I will just add that as the senator that used to have the north half of the Kenai Peninsula, I certainly understand the user groups. I think we, as humans, fight over fish much more than the bears do. But it's an important resource. At this time, the meeting, we've completed our agenda. The meeting will be adjourned. I have no further meetings scheduled for the Resources Committee unless by some quirk we get another board or commissioner appointment, then I will notify committee members. So at this time, we will stand adjourned. The time is 4:26 p.m.